Final half hour of the Sheldon McLeod Show on this rainy Tuesday. I'm booking a show for Wednesday. I don't know what day it is. There are two sides that should never mingle. There's a lot of attention being paid on, you know, the different interests, the different interest groups, and whether or not the two have to live individually and separate all the way around. Actually, I'm not talking about the midterms. I'm talking about the Halifax Christmas Village and the Guy Show. Yeah, I know. It's a long reach. A long reach for a bad joke. Truly.
I thought it was excellent.
Oh, you're just buttering men up. I don't even know what I meant to say there. Don't know what I'm saying. I need to enunciate. Caller number 10, 902-405-6000 or toll free 1-877-801-8255. If you want two tickets to the Christmas Craft Village and the Halifax Guy Show. Tickets are available if you want to call us right now. Let's talk a little bit about something that I know very little about. And in fact, I think it's an emerging trend. As Zane Woodford from Star Metro Halifax wrote, you might be focused on reducing your carbon footprint and living a green lifestyle, but a new campaign is aimed at getting you to think about a green death. We've got Dawn Carson joining us here. She is an end-of-life concierge, along with Deborah Luscombe. And Death Matters is the organization they run together. And we've got Dawn with us on the show. Hi, Dawn. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very well. Very well. Do you find people more interested or perhaps intrigued with this conversation about not just green death, but talking about their end?
I think that the more that we understand that we're actually going to die, which was where I was going with my guess what, you and I are going to die. It's our birthright. That we'll start to get a little bit more comfortable with it. And as we get more comfortable with it, we'll start looking into it. When we look into it, we'll choose green burial because it's the best option.
All right. We know, I've heard, and it's something else that's just recent in recent years, death doula, like a birth doula, only for end-of-life care. What is it that your group does? What is your organization all about? Death Matters.
Death Matters is a separate business from the Green Burial Campaign. Yeah. We are mostly interested in helping people get their healthcare directives done, choose their healthcare delegates, and plan their funerals. And as a result of those conversations that we've had with hundreds of people in Nova Scotia, options in funerals has led to the idea of developing more green burial options.
And I want to explore that in a little more detail, but I got to ask you about one of the biggest stories that we've had in quite some time is the story of Audrey Parker and her medical assisted death last week. And we've been talking about it on the show. And I think it's not normalizing, but I think it's making it a little easier for people to have these conversations.
Well, certainly she's put a lot of light on the subject of medical assistance in dying. I think she's been a brave and wonderful advocate for advancing the views and the possibilities in terms of what's called MAID, medical assistance in dying. And, you know, we got a basic program in place 2 years ago for that. And now it's being kicked in the sides a little bit to expand it to include other things. And that's the natural process of it. And in my heart, I feel like Audrey gave her life to help to advance that idea.
We have Dawn Carson here with us, describes herself as an end-of-life concierge. I think that's a great title.
Thank you. We do a little bit of everything. We can help you get tickets to any green burial site you want to see.
Well, that might be a fascinating offer. But as you say, and as we know, we all have an expiration date. We just don't know what it is yet. We just don't know. And again, in some ways, and it maybe sounds horrible to say, but Audrey Parker chose on her own terms that day.
That's true.
Yeah,
she did. And death is certain and time of death is uncertain. But the more we make a plan for it and talk to each other first and foremost about what our wishes are, the easier it is at the end of life for those wishes to be met and for you to have the kind of death experience that you want. You mentioned earlier about death doulas, and I think the birth doulas came out when, you know, about 40 years ago, we all started reclaiming the birth process. Well, this is a time where we're reclaiming the death process so that we can get our end-of-life experience on our own terms.
I'm wondering your thought on this, and I know we invited you into the circle to talk about green burials, and we will. We absolutely will. But the idea that we are perhaps insulated from that part of that natural process of death, that in some cultures there are still the rituals of washing the body and or even laying in state, or what used to happen in rural Nova Scotia or even in the city, you'd have somebody in a room and the family would remember and then say their goodbyes. We're so insulated. I was probably 17 before I went to my first funeral. And, you know, I'm not advocating people should be going to funerals just ad hoc, but just the idea that, you know, there is an opportunity here for education.
Well, it's part of the stream of our life. You know, as I said earlier, it's our birthright that we're going to die. And we have a very death phobic or death denial kind of culture. People don't want to talk about it. I can't even get my own family to talk to me about this. They're always like, oh, Dawn, you know, you're on your subject again. But I think the more that we understand what the possibilities are and what we want at our end of life, the more likely that is to happen.
Estimated that a single cremation uses as much energy as an 800-kilometer car trip. You know, that is a final destination, but it's not, I mean, if you put it in those terms, if you're mindful of your impact on the planet, maybe that's something people consider.
Exactly. And I think learning how to be mindful about our impact on the planet would be an interesting thing in the first place. I mean, for green burials, they also make the comparison, or for cremations, excuse me, they make the comparison that it takes the same amount of energy to cremate a body as it does to exist for a month. But I don't think as individuals we understand what kind of energy we do use to exist for a month. And so if we look into that, then we have more of an idea of what our impact is on the planet. And when we have those kinds of pieces of information available to us, then we can make completely different decisions about how much carbon or we're going to leave behind, or whether our final act would be one to poison the planet or to enrich it.
Dawn Carson here with us. She and her partner have teamed up with Ecology Action Center to launch Green Burial Nova Scotia. So the idea is what? Just to do it in the most environmentally friendly way? It sounds a little weird to put it that way, but that's what it is, isn't it?
It is. It's a statement of your values. It's a choice of burying the body as simply as possible into the earth. So it's kind of like an environmental statement. When we return our bodies to the earth, we decompose naturally and we contribute to new life.
Are all burial places into this?
There are three that we know of in Nova Scotia that are called hybrid cemeteries. So the Green Burial Council of Canada has come up with a certification process for several different categories of green burials. Green burial preserves, dedicated green burial cemeteries, and what are called hybrid cemeteries. In Nova Scotia, we have three hybrid cemeteries that we're aware of. If there are more of you out there, please get in touch with Ecology Action Center and let us know, because we're interested. And a hybrid cemetery means that conventional burials with concrete liners, embalming fluid, fancy caskets, all that sort of stuff will be there. Cremated remains will also be there, but there'll be a designated section for green burials.
You know, my wife and I have talked about this, and she wants to be cremated. She's an organ donor, everything but her eyes. Those are her choices. Me, once the package is empty, I really don't care what you do with it, but I want people not to have a funeral as much as a celebration of life. And I think that's, you know, what we're talking about here with you, is that these are the things that you think about when you want those that you leave behind and the way that they frame not just your life, but your death.
Yeah, funerals are changing a lot. And funeral directors are being asked to actually create circumstances. They're almost like event planners now, where they're creating circumstances to do celebrations of life. And, you know, if the industry wants to keep up with the demands of what people want to do in terms of these celebrations, they have to be willing to shift the view on how a funeral is actually conducted and include things like videos of the deceased and everybody arriving in their Harley Davidson gear and ordering pizza in. And it's a completely different situation now when you're celebrating life. I mean, they're not all that casual for sure, but that is also part of it. That is what, if you and I start talking with each other, or you and your wife start talking with each other about what you want, you don't want people to be dressed in black and feeling awkward, not sure what they should do, what they should say to the ones that have remained behind. you want it to be a much more open celebration situation where you can say what you found was really funny or what you loved about the person who has just died and be able to share that with other people.
Okay, black T-shirts, blue jeans, but it has to be on a rock band. That's what I'm going to say just for me. Don, there's no way for me to be polite about asking you this next question, and hopefully your mind's not racing about this, but greenwashing, you know, the idea that people will tend to spend more if they think that. So is this more expensive or less expensive than a traditional type burial?
Well, this is less expensive than a conventional burial, and usually less expensive than a cremation, but, you know, there are a lot of factors that come into play with that. If you're doing it yourself, because you can, you know, do it yourself now with burials and funerals. You don't need to use a funeral home or a director, so that's going to cut costs down. So there are a lot of factors. The easy way of answering that question is that typically a green burial is cheaper than a conventional burial. And that if you suspect you're being greenwashed, just ask more questions.
And you've been great to answer all of these questions. I don't know what you were expecting, but this is a real educational opportunity. And there's ecologyactioncenter.ca/greenburial. Then there's the other thing that you mentioned, the fact that you folks are involved in this company, Death Matters, which is about planning.
Yes, and we have a whole page on green burial on our website as well.
And what's that website?
Deathmatters.ca.
That's pretty simple to remember. Don, it's a pleasure to meet you. And yes, when we shuffle off this mortal coil, as they say, at least this gives us something to think about while we're still here in now.
Let the earth clean you quickly and go as green as possible.
There we go. Don Carson,
yeah,
take care.
Thank you so much for your interest.
All the best to you.
Bye-bye.
Don Carson is her name. And, of course, this leads me to that inevitable question. Producer Matt, any last wishes?
Any last wishes?
Yeah, do you have any last wishes? It's not like I'm a doctor. I'm not diagnosing you. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm just asking.
Are you a genie?
In a bottle?
You're going to grant me a wish? Last wishes.
Three more wishes, please.
But I did read this thing last year about this new technique for dealing with cadavers. Mm-hmm. It involves you put the body into this machine and it sticks a big you know when you get like a tube of toothpaste or something or ointment, you take off the top and you poke it the other way. It's got the sharp point, so it goes through the. No idea what I'm talking about.
I do, but I'm not sure. Okay.
Same thing, but with a body, and so it kind of dissolves the body. It's really gross sounding, but very
efficient.
Sort of like
if a spider were to get a hold of you. I saw Lord of the Rings. I know where to. Wow. Okay.
Frodo was okay, but yeah, Frodo kind of sucks the life out of you.
No, the life is gone. It just.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It sucks something out of you.
Ooh.
Too much information?
No, not really. The death is inevitable. We can't escape it. But we should be okay talking about it, shouldn't we? We talked about religion.
I don't want
to. Talked about politics. Got to talk about all of the things we're not supposed to talk about on the radio.
I don't want to talk about death.
Why not?
That's fine.
Oh,
because we're almost done.
You're under 40.
Oh, just barely.
Well, still. I don't
know.
Yeah,
death sounds kind of scary.
Yeah.
It all comes back to those aliens. That's going to be the end of all of us.
No.
What?
My mother is thinking about becoming a death doula. She's had in her life's experience a number of folks close to her, and she's been with them through the last days, weeks, months, hours. And that takes a certain special person.
Also take a kind of mental toll, I would have to think.
Well, but it could be sad, or it could be Audrey Parker.
True.
Which is sad, but... And I just, before we leave that conversation with Audrey, she wanted to live longer. That needs to be stated.
For sure.
I'm not trying to glorify her passing.
Right.
Let's just be clear. If she'd have had another 20 years, she'd have been more than happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of quality of life? That's the other part. I have a friend who wants to be loaded into a cannon and shot. I don't know how I would get permission to do that. That's the only problem with that.
It's one of those ask for forgiveness after the fact, I think.
Okay. All right. Hey,
just put your friend in a cannon, Sheldon.
Matt.
Do it. Yeah.
Do you have access to a cannon? just asking for a friend.
I don't, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll have to work on that. We'll take a break, and winter is coming. Oh, meme me. Why not? We'll be right back with the Better Business Bureau. I don't think I've ever watched an entire episode of Game of Thrones, so I'll just leave that out there. Winter is coming. Preparing your home and car for winter weather. The folks with the Better Business Bureau put out that notification earlier today, and to give us some insights, we are joined by, on the line with us this afternoon, get your name right, Kristen Matthews, Marketing and Communications Specialist with the BBB. Hi, Kristen. How are you?
That's me. Hi. Good. Thanks. How are you doing?
Very well. Was this a little bit of a play on the words from the old Game of Thrones?
Exactly. That was the plan. Very fearful, like winter is coming.
So getting ready for it. So what is it that you want us to know about getting ready for Canadian winter?
Right. So as we all know, you know, Canadian winters are nothing to take lightly. And as the colder weather is starting to come, we just want people to start asking themselves questions now about preparing their car for winter and their homes so that they're not thinking about it when it's too late.
Asking ourselves questions like, why don't we live in Florida?
Pretty much.
All right. So again, some straightforward. How does the Better Business Bureau play into this conversation, though?
So a lot of the reasons that why we put out tips like this is because we get a lot of complaints. So say we get a complaint about somebody's furnace not working properly or something like that. Something like this is a reminder to get people thinking about this stuff before it's actually in use in the winter, so that, you know, we're kind of getting less complaints about that stuff because people are thinking about it earlier and they're protecting their homes and protecting themselves. So the Better Business Bureau is always about prevention and protection.
we've spoken with Peter in the past, Peter Morehouse with the BBB, about, you know, yeah. I know a guy. I guess in some ways you're trying to help people protect themselves by frequenting Better Business Bureau members.
Exactly. And that's kind of something that we're talking about here. So, for example, one of the things that we're recommending this winter for your home is to check up on your furnace. So check your furnace's air filters and have a trusted professional look at the furnace. So in terms of that, you know, getting trusted professionals and reputable companies to come in and look at these things instead of, like you said, just hiring the guy down the street because you know him.
And we'll also, friendly neighborhood reminder, check your smoke and carbon monoxide detectors. If you didn't do it with the time change, do it now.
Exactly. And that's something that should actually be routinely checked anyways. But especially in the winter, you know, look at it, install fresh batteries as needed, and it should be replaced actually every 10 years.
Kristen Matthews is here. She's a communication specialist with the Better Business Bureau here in Atlantic Canada. We've reached her in Halifax. Kristen, are you the kind of person who has a go bag or, you know, your emergency kit ready?
I definitely do. I'm not the type of person that has CAA or anything to fall back on, so I try to be very very prepared for anything. So in my car, I like to have some kind of salt or some ice melting product, my ice scraper, some extra blankets or warm clothing, because you never know in blizzards and blackouts, things can happen. We could get stranded on the side of the road with nowhere to go, so it's really good to just be prepared for things like that, even though you think it might not happen to you, you're never going to ask yourself these questions unless it's too late.
Yeah, kind of dealing with it after it happens. Is there information up at the Better Business Bureau website right now about this?
So we're actually going to post this release on our social media and our website, so everybody can find our tips and everything there at the end of the day.
Kristen Matthews, so nice to meet you on the radio. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me, Sheldon.
You take care. Kristen Matthews is a communications specialist with the Better Business Bureau, and that is all there is for that, or at least for our segment of the show. Producer Matt, we forgot, and I didn't remind you to tell me who won these tickets. Who's a lucky ticket winner here?
No, this was the plan the whole time. Oh. The winner was Cliff McDonald, so congratulations.
Hey, Cliff. Thanks. Go to the Guy Show or the Christmas Craft Village. We're not judging. We got more tickets to give away.
Go to both.
Well, absolutely. You got tickets to both. You might as well go to both.
Totally.
We'll tell you more about that tomorrow. And tomorrow, midterms. Yes, we'll talk about U.S. politics. Gotta. We have to. Everybody else is. Can't be left out of that conversation. Well, we can, but we won't. Hey, Producer Matt, have a great afternoon. Stay safe. Stay dry.
Impossible about the dry part, but I'll do my best.
Well, you got your indoor sneakers and your outdoor sneakers. We're all good.
Thank you.
All right.
After from the gallery.
We got news next. Hey, Paul Vino, happy birthday, bud. We'll see you in a couple hours. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:30.